Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is April 15th. I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to MotiveVitality.com or subscribing to MotiveVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use. Thanks so much for joining us. Of course, we love having you live because we love having the discussions. I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have? Anybody have anything? Wanted to. We had a situation. Go ahead, Jen. You're muted. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh! Did I space out? I heard you. So I'm going to put another plug out there for my woman supporting the water industry Facebook page. We're having fun on there. And it's not only for people that are, you know, for people within the industry, it's for, you know, those who are supporting. So I know we have, we usually have more men than women on this call and listening to this call. So I would like for you to extend the invitation to your significant others and, you know, or even other family members that support you. And then women, of course, you and anybody within your organization or your friends and family that support you, because, you know, I know that none of us can do this position alone. So definitely would love to see more people in the group. And just shoot me, if you're not able to find it on Facebook, just shoot me a message or something.
Yeah, we talked about that quite a bit last week, and just the and of course have previous weeks on the importance of, you know, how this, everybody knows that you this position, this job, this industry, you tend to come in and you live it, you eat it, you breathe it. It becomes very much part of you and your family, and having that support, it is critical to the success in the industry. You know, having somebody that it understands, that's part of the industry in very subtle ways. So for those of you that may not know, Jen, and along with a couple other helpers, created this Facebook group for support. What is the name of the Facebook group again, Jen?
It's support, Women Supporting the Water Industry.
Yeah, Women Supporting the Water Industry, which is always, it's not only women that support the industry, but this group in particular is focused around the women who do that. So, also, I wanted to kind of get it. Sometimes I like to toss things up and get some feedback and suggestions on how other companies are handling things or what they're doing. So let me just toss up a hypothetical situation here. And I just would love some feedback on suggestions on how it should be handled, okay, or how your, what your company policy is, you know, what or what you guys would do. So let's say you have a, and we talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, how it, kind of the you touch it, you own it scenario, okay, but let's say that you go out and you have a, you turn off a valve. You're doing a plumbing assessment and you turn off a valve and it springs a leak. I know we talked about last week, or a few weeks ago, last time we discussed this, we talked about, you know, being very aware, being very careful about what you touch, or even recognizing that, you know, you go out there and you see a well tank that looks rusty, and that, you know, you not only need to mention it to the customer, but it needs to be documented. so that you know the you know, if the customer calls back a week later because the well tank that has nothing to do with our equipment sprung a leak, we can show that we documented that it was there. Even then it becomes iffy because it's in such close timing proximity to what happened. The customers often don't understand that things are not related, but in their mind, you know, we were the only ones doing work in that area. Therefore it's our problem, our fault. So I'm curious how you guys handle it. Let's say you go out and you turn off a valve and the valve pops off and springs a leak. You know, what do you do? What's your protocol? What is your company's protocol? How do you discuss it with the customer? What is the, you know, what course of action do you take? How do you handle it? How do you discuss it? Anybody? Stacy, how do you guys handle it over there?
So our theory is we're not touching other equipment that's not ours to begin with. Lesson I learned the hard way very early on, I tried putting a bypass back in a frozen bypass. Broke the ice and flooded a 12-degree garage.
Yeah.
That being said, the woman worked a lot of hours when it thought it was going to flood anyways, but she was renting, so we just made sure we got out there and put that rental in that day to straighten up my screw-up.
Fix it. Yeah.
And once the manager was done laughing at me.
Yeah. Well, so that I've had those situations too, where you go to turn, you know, you bypass a piece of equipment, and literally, I had one that, you know, just the valve just shot out. But did you tell the customer about it?
Oh, she was standing there when it started spraying water. It took us a while to find a water main shut off in her house.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was buried in a closet behind crap.
Right. So, yeah, so the customer was definitely aware of that. Who else? So in that situation, what if you noticed that, you know, you turned it and it was just a slow leak or something happened? Have you guys run into that? Even if you don't have a specific policy, how do you think it should be handled?
I mean, you need to be upfront with the customer and let them know what's going on. Because otherwise, they're just going to think you're a slime bucket when they figure it out. Eventually, they're going to figure it out.
Do you communicate or document that at the...
We document everything. Take pictures. I mean, we go out if there's rust on the bottom of a tank. We get that in the pictures and stuff. That way, especially if we're replacing equipment, when we change out the equipment, they don't blame us for something else that was already wrong. So we take a lot of pictures, and I have all my pre-install photos from my entire career.
Right. So who else has even any suggestions or thoughts? Jen, I know that we've worked with a lot of people. What have you seen that has most impressed you? You know, in these situations, what do you suggest we do in these situations?
In the situations like that, what I've seen in most companies, if something happens, it's especially if it's the territory manager or sales professional, when they're out there and they just make a phone call to service, and service is usually really good about getting out there. I know there was one company that threatened to charge back the territory manager. We kind of put a kibosh on that pretty quick. But most service departments are understanding that it happens. There's a reason we're out there, because there's water issues, and we just take care of the customer. And I think that the customer, the less stressful that you make the situation, I think that the more they respect it, you know, if you kind of freak out, then they're going to be like, oh, my gosh, you know. But it's like, you know, sorry this happened. I'll get service out here right away. Service comes out. No big deal. You know, I think that they'll they feel a little bit more comfortable when you're not stressed about it.
Well, let's take it one step further and let's ask, let's talk a little bit, because I love the ideas here. It's a scenario that hopefully we don't see, but one that I think does come up. So let's say it's your customer, okay, and or not necessarily even your customer, but sometimes it could be. And I guess I'd be interested in what you, those of you that are sales professionals on the call, what you would do to, you know, how you would interact or react with the customer. But let's say that you have a service technician that goes out, and this happens, right? The reverse osmosis system maybe is under a sink. Okay, you know, they do have to turn off valves to shut the water down. So, you know, I could think of a couple scenarios where maybe you shut the water down, you know, turn the water off to the house, and the valve begins leaking, you know, the valve to shut the water off begins leaking. You turn it back on, maybe it's a slow drip, maybe it's not that big a deal, but it's leaking. Should the service technician repair that valve? How should they communicate with the customer? You know, another scenario might be, I mean, they're under the sink servicing a reverse osmosis system. Those traps, I don't know how many of you guys have been on service calls, but it does happen where you have a trap that is busted or old. You had water sitting in the trap, and you get in there in one little bump, and suddenly it creates a hole in that trap. Unrelated, the problem was there long before we got there, but we did bump it. You know, the service tech was under the sink changing filters or sanitizing a unit or doing whatever, and boom, now you suddenly have a leak on unrelated plumbing, okay? What is the service technician's responsibility to the customer? What is the responsibility to the company? How should it be communicated? And how do you as a sales professional then address that with the customer? So let's walk through that first and start with what should the service technician do? How should the service technician handle that? Please, Jen, go ahead.
Just a little bit of to kind of preface this is the importance of when you're doing your plumbing assessment is kind of keep an eye out for, you know, whether it's valves that look like they're rusty and in rough shape or traps or whatever. Keep an eye out for those things. And, you know, that comes with experience. It's not going to be as easy for somebody just starting in the industry to recognize those things, but that comes with experience, and that comes with right along with service. And they can point out the things that are, you know, you need to watch for this, you need to watch for that. That one's about ready to blow. We want to recommend to the customer that we change that. So the preventative is kind of the first step. And the second step with the, you know, the service technician happens to bump something and springs a leak. You know, I think that that's when they mention to the customer, it looks like this has sprung a leak. And that's kind of a tough call because it depends on how bad it was and if the customer was aware that it was bad to begin with.
Yeah, and so definitely the preventative things where I could see it happening sometimes is, let's say a system's been in for a couple of years, you know, and so the salesperson is out of it. Hopefully the sales professional has still kept in touch with that customer, right? This isn't one of those things. If those of you that are on this call know that you know, we really talk a lot about staying in touch long term, you know, being in contact with that customer well years after you've made that sale. That's one of the things that will set us apart from the vast majority of our competition out there. So you are still in touch with the customer, maybe not in this particular time, but, you know, let's say there's a service call and the system, let's say it's an RO and the system's been in for, you know, a couple years, right? So the salesperson, this is not the salesperson's responsibility to have checked this trap, but let's say, and it's just normal service. Technician goes out, bumps a trap or a drain or a pipe, and you know, let's ask the question first. How should the service technician communicate that to the customer, or should they?
Well, they definitely should communicate it to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And should they? Is it then the company's responsibility to repair or fix it?
Good morning, guys. Jose here, Pure 5 Solutions.
Hey, Jose. Yeah, great. Yeah, interested in your feedback.
Yes, absolutely. So I've been burned many times for not doing that, for not being, proactive before I start an installation or even touch anything. And I learned my lesson. My lesson is basically that I should look all around wherever I'm going to plan to touch or even be nearby to see if anything is loose or corroded or leaking or wet or abnormal in any shape or form. Take a picture and then find the owner and say, you know, this situation is like this. I just want to make sure you know before I touch it. And if you want me to fix it, I can fix it for you, but it's going to cost you this much. Now, if I fail on doing that and it breaks, I have to put myself in their position, in their shoes. The thing was not having a problem before, and now since you touched it, it's having a problem, period. That's it. So I have to then fix it, and if it's going to cost me a lot of money or a lot of work, perhaps maybe I have to get like somebody else to do it or something like that, then I may have to, you know, work on the cost with the client, say, you know, I'm sorry, this was like this, but I can do it for this much, and maybe you can just give me $50 or something, whatever, you know. But
yeah,
it's best, my experience, to actually do it beforehand and be as negligent as possible.
What about the scenario where, you know, where I'm describing something that happened, Jose, where, you know, where the system's been in for a while and you're just servicing it and you bump something? How do you communicate that to the customer, and you know, what would one of your service techs, what would their responsibility be if they did that to the company or to the what would their responsibility be throughout?
Yeah, so basically, as long as the customer is aware that there's an issue, and, you know, that it may fail, it may break, and they're okay with it, then that's okay. But in terms of, you know, breaking it or touching something that may fail while the technician is there, we should be responsible for it, again, because we didn't tell the customer. Because the customer is going to then eventually think that we did it on purpose or that we are not really, you know, professionals, and they're not going to hire us anymore. So it's going to cost us more money that way.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And so my thought is, you know, first off, they should communicate. I was hoping to get some feedback from you guys, and I'm open. I know some of you are muted, and it takes a minute, so interrupt me if you'd like. How do we communicate it? You know, what do we say? And I like what you're saying there, Jose, you know, where you let them know, hey, I want to show you something. This happened. It happened because it was old and it was bumping. I'm going to, you know, I mean, if it's something that we can just fix and do, I feel like we should do it. If there's a cost associated with it where it costs, it's going to be extra labor or there's an old valve and we can, you know, hopefully the service technician, if we're, and this is not many of you, it's not your responsibilities to train the service technician on this, but hopefully our service techs are trained to look at these things, recognize if there might be a problem before we start touching stuff so that we can do all of that so that the customer's aware ahead of time, kind of doing, stopping, taking a look at the work that we're doing first. That's really important on all of this stuff. Then communicating with the customer, if it's something that we can fix it. I think definitely you don't just leave the leak or leave the broken thing there. But even if you have to, there needs to be a plan of action, I think, with the customer and with the company before the technician leaves. And definitely everything needs to be documented, because what could potentially happen in that situation is now the customer discovers it usually after hours and they want it fixed right away. They're blaming the company, and now the company is on the hook for an emergency service call or an emergency plumber. that as from a sales professional, Stacy, like you said, you learned a long time ago not to touch stuff. I don't think I learned that lesson. I was willing to go out and touch way too many things way too often. Tom, I don't know if you're on the call, but I think you've seen me get a couple kitchens wet.
Unfortunately, I did.
So, you'd think it's a lesson that I would learn after, 23 years of doing this.
Get stuck in a 12-story garage. And from head
that?
To toe, when you get soaking wet in a 12-degree garage, you learn that lesson really quick.
Yeah, that's because you're way smarter than me, Stacy. I'm still waiting to learn a lesson. But I think, so now let's talk about it from the perspective then of a sales professional. Okay, let's say you've had that scenario and there's been a leak and now you've been in touch with the customer. Hopefully the customer has a good relationship with you and your company. Okay, and they're calling. How do you, as a sales professional, follow up and talk to the customer following an incident where, and I think I'm more interested in, well, let's talk about both, okay? Something happens on the install where there was an issue. And, I don't know if you're still on the call, if you're able, but you come in with a fresh perspective on this. I'm curious about your perspective from somebody who's barely touched the industry, but also as a consumer, as a customer as well. What I'm interested in, you've probably got the freshest perspective from that standpoint as anybody on the call, so I'm interested in your feedback or thoughts on this as well. But how would you, as a sales professional, let's ask this first, how would you handle this or address it with the customer?
I apologize, Scully, I am on the call.
No, it's okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think that, at the end of the day, when situations like this, happen and they're unavoidable, things are going to happen. I think that if you go in thinking that everything's going to be perfect, then, you shouldn't be in a service type of industry. I think it needs to be over-communicated when something happens. What I mean by that is communicate immediately with the customer. This is what happened. And then I think that the internal communication needs to happen. If there's a question from a service tech standpoint, call somebody at the office and say, here's what happened. Here's what I did. Here's some pictures. What would you like me to do? How do you want to handle this? Because it's far better to do something immediately and address it immediately than it is to get these phone calls late at night.
Yeah. So how much involvement, and I'm for all of you that are in sales on the call, how much involvement following this? So I'm of two thoughts on this. I wonder how, sometimes you can, too much involvement can make a situation seem much bigger than it really is. You want to fix it, address it, make it, my thought is you sometimes want to just say, hey, this happens. The customer should understand. Sometimes if you make it too big a deal and too many people get involved and too many people are apologizing, and suddenly the customer's thinking, oh, I can milk this for everything I have.
Correct.
So my question is, is it important for the sales professional to know about it? And if so, how much involvement or how should the sales professional react or follow up or communicate with the customer following this instance?
My opinion is, go ahead.
As a salesperson, I'm usually the first one to find out that there's a problem.
Yeah, so they're calling. So
they contact me. They ask me, there's something wrong. And I explain to them, like I'm going on a repair right now for a refrigerator that's leaking. And I tell them, there are outside problems that can happen from doing a plumbing change. And it's an old refrigerator. And I said, hooking up a reverse osmosis to it depressurized the refrigerator for a minute or whatever it was. And the refrigerator is 15 years old. And there was a reaction to it. It's related, but it's not related. So I tell my customers there are possibilities of having issues because of the action that we did to the house. And for every action, there could be a reaction. Usually there's not, but sometimes there are. And people seem to be okay with that.
What I love about what you're saying there too, Bob, is the relationship that you have with your customers, where they do have that point of contact. I always feel like I had that with mine as well, that, you know, we had a service department, and I trusted our service department, but I wanted to be involved with that. I wanted to follow up. I wanted to make sure that they were there. And my customers tended to call me directly as well to liaison, to work with them. I hope that you all have a relationship with your customers to where they do the same, you know, where they, you know, let them, you know, where you are aware of it and you're following up and you're going back out. That is how you develop those long-term relationships and those referrals and stuff like that. Will, you had another comment about that?
Yeah, I was, along with what Bob was saying, it's as much about preconditioning the customer to the fact that, you know, in certain situations where you have experience, you know, like you said, Bob, an older refrigerator, things along those lines, if they're preconditioned to understand that in this situation, every once in a while, we do see some issues. If something comes up, please call me directly, and we'll do what we can to mitigate the issue. You know, if that's the case, they're preconditioned to understand that, hey, if something does come up, it doesn't automatically become a complete and absolute panic mode.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on this before we finish up here today? Any final comments? Always interested in the perspective of everybody. I, you know, these scenarios do arise. How we deal with them, I think, is important. So just to summarize a couple things. Number one, I believe it's really important to do that thorough plumbing assessment from the beginning. I think it's important from a company standpoint to teach their service technicians to do the same before they get involved and touch something and before they do the service. I think there probably needs to be a clear policy on what happens when those situations arise, where, you know, if we know how to communicate with the customer and we know what responsibilities the customer or the company is going to have to the customer, and then policies for where and when those things get documented. I think that that's really important as well. I think the other thing that I take from this call is that you as sales professionals should stay in touch with your customers and be in contact with them and help liaison between the service department and the customer, you know, to be aware so that you can follow up, build that relationship with them and follow up with it. It is water, guys. We're dealing with water. Anytime we're dealing with water and a plumbing system, it is a system. There's a lot of different things that can go wrong with a plumbing system. There's not a company in existence out there, whether it's a plumbing company or a water treatment company or any type of company that deals with the plumbing system that hasn't at some point had an unforeseeable leak, whether it's because of their equipment or somebody else's equipment. It's why there's insurance, there's company insurance out there. But there are certainly things that we can do to minimize those issues. And a lot of it is for us. It starts with us being aware that we work in an industry where we're touching water, where we have, you know, it's a plumbing system. So anything that I missed on here, any other final thoughts that you guys have or suggestions that you have before we finish up? Guys, as always, I appreciate the feedback. I always appreciate the ideas and the thoughts and the communication and participation. It is truly my honor to be able to offer the forum. For those of you that are listening to this via recording, please give me your thoughts, shoot me your emails, let me know what you think, and we will put them in the comments section of the call. Everybody, thanks very much. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe. Thanks, everybody.